about to begin this service by singing 309. The Lord who has remembered us, his blessing will bestow. All those who fear his holy name, his love and care shall know. Number 309. We bear it to you from God's holy word, the Gospel of Matthew, the 27th chapter, and we commence with verse 50, Matthew 27. That Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled the great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation of the chief priests and Pharisees, came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a rod, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting the rod. This part. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and it be multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost, amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is in thy condescending mercy and in thy loving kindness that in this special day and evening where we commemorate that the Savior of the world, the surety of the covenant, that he died on the cross of Calvary, and that he was buried by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. A wonderful day for the church. The Father satisfied. The Son in principle already glorified, and the church reconciled with God, all the sins and all the transgressions taken away by the surety of the church. It was a payday for that church on Good Friday, where all the sin and all the guilt is taken away, and that there shall be no more remembrance of it on account of the perfect mediatorial work of Christ. Satan's head was bruised. Death was swallowed up into victory. And we hope to hear in this evening what an honor that the Father had given to his Son. Also before that moment that he came out of the grave, that our hearts may share in it in this evening, that it may please the Lord to remember young and old, great and small. May that our heart be warmed up, and that all that coldness was taken away out of our hearts, and that the love of Christ constrains us, that our hearts were filled with the love of the Father, who has given his only begotten Son as his servant to do his will, to fulfill all his comfort, to merit salvation, where he was obedient to the death of the cross, has suffered all that he must suffer, fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And now, Lord, in heaven, to apply his merits to his people, that by nature is dead in trespasses and sins, under the dominion and power of the devil and of sin, but delivered by the Holy Spirit. Lord, have mercy with all of us, with the whole congregation. Look upon young and old, great and small, and that the preaching in this day, that it bears such fruit for many amongst us, that this day shall be unforgettable for them, and that we can look back later on in our life to this evening as an evening that the Lord had revealed himself in the power of his death and resurrection, and that the joy of the Lord be the strength of our hearts. Grant unto all thy servants what they need to proclaim with gladness and joy and boldness in their heart, that everlasting gospel. Strengthen also us in this evening, as thou hast done so many times in our life. Give that the honor of the Lord, the salvation of sins, was bound upon our hearts, and that we seek the welfare of thine. Remember all the sick and all the afflicted, all those that are in the different hospitals. Remember especially that boy who is laying now between life and death in such a serious condition. Lord, if it can please thee, prolong his life. And shall it be different, remember him in the last days of hours of his life. Strengthen the parents and family, and that all the calls coming unto us from day to day, that they be sanctified to our hearts, also these parents who have lost those boys in that accident. They are also a father and a mother. Oh, thy ways are so deep many times. But it is only the Lord that can strengthen us, all that our boys and girls seek the Lord while they are young, that the fear of the Lord may fill the heart, and that it may please thee to comfort us, and then we shall be comforted. Strengthen that father with his broken leg, that mother who was operated yesterday, and all the ones that cannot gather with us. There are so many old people and sick people. We commend them all at the throne of grace. Visit them in their homes. And where that they are, remember the boys in the service, the widows, orphans, and widows, and all the needs and wants in the family. They are so great and manifold, more than the hairs of our heads. But by thee are the issues even unto death. Remember us together. Give an ear to hear and heart to realize and observe. Bless the preaching in this evening. And forgive our sins. For Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 47. 47. The offering will be for our school. My God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. Number 47. Thank you. beloved congregation, this special day that we call Good Friday, that is a day of the greatest importance and significance for the Church of God here on earth. It is a day mentioned as a payday of God's Church, because the blessed Savior, mediator, and surety of the Church, he paid everything off for his Church till the last penny. He had paid what he had to pay, waiting for the receipt that he will receive on the day of resurrection. And even after all the suffering of that blessed mediator and Savior, we have, of course, no names enough to extol him and to show our gratitude unto him. He had done everything that must be done for poor, for wretched sinners who could pay nothing and who could do nothing. But Christ had done for them everything. 33 years he was laboring to fulfill the law, to take away the curse of the law, to glorify the law, to satisfy the justice of his Father, but also to deliver his people. And at this congregation, remarkable that on Good Friday, when Christ died on the cross, that already at that day, that we see something of the glory and the majesty of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is my intention this evening to say something over to you out of my text in the Gospel of John. Verse 38 to 42, John 19. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wounded in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bear it. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein had was never men yet laid. There lay they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. This far. The word of God's congregation that is full of evidences that the Lord reigns and that he is clothed with majesty. We see that also, especially the last day before that Christ died on the cross. He was crucified, as we know, and that death was painful, despicable, but also a curse. And it happens with the Romans different than that it was a custom by the Jews, because in Israel, you know that already out of Deuteronomy, in Israel there they hang the people well on a beam. But after that they died, this death, first they have to die, and then they were hanged. But amongst the Romans was that different. While they were alive, they crucified him, hanging them on a cross. They were hanging there before the people. Shameful. In such an awful condition. And then it happens many times that people who was crucified, that they were bereft of mind on account of all the pain and of all the suffering, losing so much blood. Now, at the present time, when Christ was crucified, Pilate, he gave a command to the soldiers to go to that people to break their legs. It was, of course, on the count of a request that he had received from that Jewish people. It was the day of separation, and if they came in contact with a dead body, or the people that was not buried before that it was Sabbath day, then they lay a curse upon the whole country, and it would spoil the Passover. Therefore, they asked Pilate to send the soldiers to break the legs of those who were crucified. It was so when they came that the two malefactors, they have shown us some evidences that they were still alive. That was the reason that they broke their legs. They broke their legs as one as well as the other. Even that man was converted, real converted, no doubt at all, but also his legs must be broken too. Kolbrugge, he wrote in his sermon, God's people, God's children, they enter into heaven with broken legs. And then of course they broke their legs well to hasten the hour of their death, but that breaking of the legs, that was also a cause of much pain. Can I realize it? Especially such a body that had suffered already so much. But when they came to Christ, then they saw that he already died. To a certain extent may be a disappointment that they could not, in regarding to the law, break his legs. But at the other hand, we have to see the wonderful hand of the Lord in that. Christ, in the first place, he had told the people years before already, I lay down my life and I take it up. This command I have received of my Father. And now Christ, he died at the moment he gave up the ghost. At that moment and time that he knew that he had finished the whole work of salvation. That there was nothing more to do. All the scriptures, they were fulfilled. Everything. And Christ, as a Son of God, was satisfied with what he had done. And not only that he was satisfied, but that he also knew in his heart that his Father was satisfied with him too. And with the work that he has performed. Christ died before that the soldiers came. That is a wonderful experience, congregation. Paul, he said that Christ swallowed up death into victory. I will say also something about, and that is this, that Christ brought death to an end. And to realize a little the meaning of it, I have to tell you what you have Hurt when you were children, not heavy. Out of that question book of Hellenbroek, when he spoke about the suffering of Christ, that God could not die and not suffer, because he was God. The Son of God, he could not die. He lives forever. A life that never perishes and that never can be taken away. But now Christ, he died in his human nature. He overcame the power of him who had death in his hand, and that was the death. The death that is in power, that is unbelievable. We see that time and again before our eyes. And there is no weapon in that warfare, whether we rich or poor, young or old, when that appointed time is there, then that angel of death that comes and he cuts off our life here in this world. I tried this evening in the hospital not to say some words to that boy who is at the present time between life and death, but I could not reach. I could not reach him. And when you look to such a young boy, even when they are old, but then you say, what a power that death has. But now Christ, he brought death to an end. He destroyed the power of death. He triumphed over death. And that is now the great value of Good Friday. That death for God's children, for all that belong to that blessed Christ, death is no death for them. We have so many examples of God's children that at a time and the hour that death came to them, that they were astonished, and that they say to the relatives, is this now dying, leaving this world? That the Lord made it so easy for them, that they laid around their bed with peace in their heart, looking forward as that old Simeon, now let I go, thy servant, in peace. And that is not because they were worthy for that and they have done anything to take away death, no, but that to place on Good Friday. Because we always congregate and have to look to that blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who cried out there on Calvary, it is finished. And now death had no condemning and destroying power over God's people. The same as he had no power over Christ. You see that in Psalm 16 already, where you read so clear about the glorification of Christ, even when he was in the grave. Het staat in vers 10. Voor thou wilt not lief mijn soul in hel. Nieder wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. As soon as Christ died, there came no corruption in between. No. If we die, then immediately they talk about the funeral. But that was different with that Christ. His blessed body had never seen corruption. He stayed in the same power and with the same majesty and with the same authority. Can you prove that with the Bible? Yes, congregation. On the cross, there he requested his Father for the forgiveness of the sins of all those, that have done it in ignorantly. He opened paradise for the thief on the cross. He brought Mary and John together as mother and son. The separation between God and man that is taken away on the cross of Calvary. He was forsaken of God, not forsaken of his Father. That had never taken place. But the surety was forsaken by the judge. God was his judge, where he was standing there instead of all his people. And now finally, he commanded his spirit in the hand of his Father. A free access to his Father's heart and throne. And to command that spirit in the hand of his Father. And the Father took his spirit. He died. That means in his human nature. And our fathers had told us that even in the grave, even in the grave, that there was no separation between the human and the divine nature of Christ, united even into death. And that must so, because if you take the divine nature apart, people, then the whole church sinks away forever and forever. And it is by his almighty hand and by his almighty power that he gathered his church and that he upholds his church till the end of the world. When he dies, there goes out from him such a power that an eagle's cap on the feet of the cross, he said truly, this man was the Son of God. And there was many, as you read also in other evangelists in Luke, that returned to the city, smiting upon their breast the fruit of the dying Christ. Oh devil, you have his bruise. Your power is broken. And you never shall receive it back. And the church said, that king that lives forever, that king dat zal zitten op haar troon. En hij zal roepen, de government is op haar schouders. His body had seen no corruption. And then another thing, the soldiers, they saw that he already died. They saw already that he died. They were standing there amazed. They could do nothing to his legs. No. That Joseph of Arimathea, he went to Pilate, to their governor, and he asked for the body of Jesus. The Jewish people that was a step behind him, that does something, because they have in their mind to take that body and then also to do something no wrong with that body, because to the enmity of a man there comes never an end to people. If the Lord not convert a sinner, that goes down to all eternity. But Joseph of Arimathea, he was first. He was the first one. And of course that Christ, when he was living, oh, there was never a man that had made that Pilate so troubled as the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he thought, now that Joseph of Arimathea is coming, I give him immediately what he desires, because then it is done for me with that whole business that had bothered me, that the sleep was taken from my eyes in the night. This Pilate, and he was a man, the governor, he had the right to give that body. He gave that body to head to neck to Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah. And then, of course, the Lord gave him a companion. There's also something wonderful. Then there came another man. And now it was not in the night. No, it was in the daytime. And he came also, and he accompanied himself with Joseph of Arimathea. And that was Nicodemus. We would say in our words, he was also set at liberty, that man. All that fear of men, that was now all taken away from him. But that people that had it not of himself, no, that was the power of that dying Christ. There goes so much love from that Christ in the heart of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, that they made that trip to bury the Lord Jesus Christ. They could be not different. There was no other way. Oh, what a wonderful thing. But look, no, not so much people to Joseph of Arimathea this evening, and look not so much to Nicodemus, but look to him who was crucified on Calvary, and who in his life, but also in his death, revealed himself as the Son of the living God, unto whom that was given all power in heaven and upon earth. And he had told it already, when I shall be uplifted from this earth, then I shall draw all to me. There's now there you have the proof, people. And that is a work that shall go through to the end of the world. Therefore, also in this Good Friday and in this evening, there is hope for the greatest of sin. There is nothing too wonderful for him. I say this evening to whom there was asked to come there. So in distress, I say, tell me and give me one text out of the Bible. One text that you cannot be saved, that you cannot be delivered. There is no text in the Bible. No. All the ends of the world. And if you read this evening, Psalm 22, about the state of the humiliation of Christ and the state of his exaltation, oh, there you see the glory of him, that for a sinner. For a sinner, there is hope. There is expectation. For the people that bow down before him, for the people that Christ as the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. All that grace, that unspeakable grace and the riches of God's grace in Christ Jesus, not Joseph of Arimathea, not Nicodemus, but the head of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, he wrote to the Hebrews, Jesus Christ is yesterday, today, and forever the same. The devil will drag us to hell, people. Day and night, this he with it. But from the cross of Calvary, we hear something else. That all of the Father had given me that shall come unto me, and those that come unto me, I shall not cast them out in no life. Good Friday that is, a wonderful day for the church of God, people. Oh, that our soul rejoices in that Christ, in him who poured out his love in the heart of an enemy, and who loose the bands and who break the bands as thunder of those that cannot come up, but that the Lord brings out at his appointed time. We sing about it. Number 29. My soul in death's dark pit shall not be left by thee. Corruption thou wilt not permit thy holy one to see. Life pathway through wilt show, thou wilt show. Thy right hand will guide where streams of pleasure ever flow and boundless joys abide. Number 29, the first stanza. It was for Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus the happiest day of the whole life. 3. The happy day. We know of Nicodemus for 3 years. That man was looking for that day. And that Joseph of Arimathea, how many times that man had laid down his knees in secret place because he was in secret. He had no freedom, no liberty. And now privileged to receive the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a rich man. Nicodemus was ook rich. That man that came with 100 pounds spice. 100 pounds. Yeah. Oh, but the love to Christ that come from Christ prevails in the heart of men. Yeah. Because by nature, people, you know how that's how life is. I shall not say so much about that this evening. No. If we know ourselves, then we know enough. Then we have no more to explain to you. But when the love of Christ triumphed in our hearts, had the overhand in our souls, all that we will give, all that we have to the blessed Christ. And we will sacrifice ourselves. Then everything we will give unto him with rich gifts, we shall come to that king. You read that in Psalm 68 and 72. And if God's people is filled with the love of Christ, oh, then everything we will sacrifice for him, because he is worthy to receive. And now they were privileged people for 3 years so far away from him. And now they receive him in their hands. They receive him in their hands. And they buried him in a new tomb where not one man ever was laid. It was hewn in a rock. Later on, the Jewish people, they say, the disciples, they came and they stole. They steal him and it was night. But of course, that were all lies. That were all lies. They have to go through a rock. How is it possible to find a way through that rock to come to the body of Christ? And there was no one ever laid in that tomb. That belongs also to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Really? That the Father had taken care for them. That was now engraved there in sepulchre. There was no defilements in that. No corruptions at all. Because it was not defiled by any dead person. Never and ever. And there now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he lay there in majesty and in glory, waiting for that time that an angel from heaven would come and to take away that stone and to open the grave that science King could come out and to reveal himself in the power of his resurrection. They bound him, they wound him in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bear. Of course, you can realize, people, they have not to come to the full case matter and to full light. Their hearts are full with love, but they have not so much light, no. That was it with Nicodemus also. Because otherwise he had never taken away with a loosepipe. No. But still, you can realize that the Lord is so kind and so friendly to his people. Oh, he stepped so much over. There was in that time one woman that was blessed above all the women. And you know who it was? That was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Did buy never spices for his son. Never. He came up not to the grave, to the sepulchre. You know why not? You know why not? Oh, that mother of Jesus, the sword of God's justice and righteousness that goes through her soul on the cross. There she was caught up by the justice of God, and there she was taken up in the arms of God the Father as a delivered soul. She experienced by the cross the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. This deaf people that have nothing to do than to sit at home, to be quiet. Yeah. But there isn't time for everything, people. And you cannot jealous to Joseph of Arimathea and jealous to Nicodemus. Oh, yes. Jealous. Because all that they have done, they have done it through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, as Paul wrote later on, the love of Christ constrains us. Yeah. And now it is remarkable, the text said, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, where he was never man yet laid, there was a garden. And now the first Adam sinned in a garden, in the Garden of Eden. But now the second Adam came, and he took the sin of that first Adam and all his descendants away. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Christ's sweat was as great drops of blood. And it was now in a garden where he found rest. Oh, people, rest my soul. Thy King, thy Lord is King. That of that garden of Joseph of Arimathea, that was now a rest place for the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no devil that bothered him. There was not sin, there was no world. There were no snares laid for him. Oh, that beautiful God of Joseph of Arimathea. And then, in a new sepulchre, a new sepulchre. Oh, it was new. Because he said in Revelation 1, now Revelation 21, Revelation 21, verse 7, I make all things new. Oh, people, did you have everything inside in it for your own heart? Did you ever see in your life the glory of Christ in his death, in his burial, and that testimony that the Father had given there in the garden of Joseph of Arimathea. And how Christ, he merited for that people everything. He merited also for that people that they shall rest in peace when they die. And that they shall lay on the cemetery, in the cemetery, till the day of resurrection. That a great king take care for the dust. Because dust thou art, and to dust thou return. But now that blessed king, that he takes care for. And that he bring that all together in the day of resurrection. That they shall be reunited with the soul. And then standing on the right hand of the throne of God and of the Lamb. To enter into that heavenly Jerusalem. Where no inhabitant would say, I am sick. Because all the people that are sick, that shall have forgiveness of all their iniquities. And then that everlasting rest, O God's people, from the moment that the Lord comes first, from the time that the Lord works in our heart, honor us. Honor us. Seldom rest. Seldom rest. Sometimes the Lord, he brings that people in Elim, under the palm trees and by the fountains. But then they have to go further in the desert and wilderness of this world. And the time is too short now, and of course, I shall not keep you too long this evening. I appreciate that there is so many people in this evening together in our church to hear that blessed gospel, the word of God. You know, people, it is very simple what we preach to you. But I hope that you all can understand it and that you can follow it. And the main thing that the Lord blesses to your heart and that he blesses to your soul. There lay the Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Maybe it was not sure. It was Saturday evening, it was Friday evening, 6 o'clock. And then, as soon as the sun goes under, then the Jewish Sabbath day, that starts 6 o'clock in the evening. And now that people that was bound to the law of God and to the commandments of the Lord, they would not stay there longer. They have a desire to stay there longer, but remember the Sabbath day that you honor it, that brought them home. But they thought, as soon as the Sabbath day is over, then we go to the stores, and then we spend all the money what we have, and we bring it to the sepulchre where the blessed Christ lives. That was in drug. It was the preparation. It was all in the hurry what they have done. But we know well, congregation, that what they have done it with full love of drug. Yes. Oh, that the Lord give us something in our soul this evening. That he gives something in our heart. It shall be the last time for some amongst us. Can be the last time for me that I preach to you with a good Friday. It is possible. But oh, shall not be so bad, people, if it is good Friday here. Then the day of our death, that shall be better than the day that we were born. And then there shall be moments in our life that we are looking forward to the time that we can leave our earthly abode, and that we may enter into that heavenly Jerusalem to cast a crown for the feet of the Lamb who had bought his people and his church with that high price of his precious blood. And then to honor forever the Father and the Holy Ghost. That shall be the desire, the full desire that there lives in the heart of all God's dear children, boys and girls, boys and girls. Seek the Lord while he is to be found. Seek him while he is to call him, while he is near. You all have heard of those twins that died in that accident, close by one of our members' house. Oh, what a consternation. What is it for those boys? What is it for these parents in the day of tomorrow? We don't know the people, but still we ask the Lord that he will strengthen them and that he will sanctify the blow to all of our hearts. Set your house in order. You shall surely die and not live. And it's time that the Lord gives us children, boys and girls, that must be in time of preparation for that great eternity. Oh, this evening when you come home, when you go to your bed this night, bow your knees before the Lord. Ask him, beg him, that he will look upon you in mercy and in compassion. And that all those evidences in the life of Christ, that it become reality for our hearts and for our souls. It is still the day of grace and the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. And if there is people amongst us, oh, that has lived so long, as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, no freedom, no liberty to come on the foreground. Always my voice here, keep still, keep quiet. You keep your soul for eternity. Oh, I hope for all that poor people, for all those that seek the Lord in secret and secluded place, that the time and the day may come that the Lord breaks the bend asunder, and that they go to Pilate. I hope you understand me. That they go to Pilate, and that they ask the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it be in their heart. Give me Jesus, here I die. And as Pilate gave leave, permission, so the Father shall give his Son to all those that desire him, that is waiting for him, and whose hearts are crying for him. At his time, He shall give the desire of your heart. Maybe this evening you have to leave the church empty, that you say all the words were well good. And I agree with it for 100%, but it is not applied to my heart. I hope that the coming days for you be a blessing for your heart. And instead of sorrow, that the joy of the Lord be the strength of your heart. And children of God amongst us, oh, that is coming day also, the day of resurrection, that this time it was a day of joy for your heart. I hope so. And it shall be when Christ reveal himself unto us, and that he gives himself away to our soul, that the Holy Spirit apply that Christ to your heart, and that he gives that privilege, that Spirit give that grace to embrace him. My beloved is mine, and he is mine, and I am his. Oh, the Lord give that there was an increasing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he become and receive the highest place in our soul, because he is worthy. He is worthy to receive. And then to look forward for that time, boys. To look forward. That we shall see him as he is. And then to give him all the praise and honor and glory for all that he has done. Have done for my soul. Amen. Lord, that the words spoken in this evening were blessed and sanctified to our hearts. Thou art the only one who can give us that privilege. Have mercy with the whole congregation. Bring us safely to our destination. Prepare us for the next Sabbath, and that it may please thee that the day of resurrection, also a day of resurrection for our soul, for the first time and by renewal, forgive the shortcomings. Remember the parents with the children. Remember each and every one. After the multitude of thy blessings and the greatness and the riches of thy grace, for thy name's sake, for Christ's sake only, amen. Now, 115, the third stanza, thou wilt commend thy servant's consolation, thy love and kindness yet shall cheer my day, and in the night thy song shall be my comfort. God of my life, to thee I still will pray. Number 115, the third stanza. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.